Hello there, precious kinklings. You're listening to K is for Kinky, and we're your friendly neighborhood kinksters.
Jen.
And Eden. And today we're going to be talking about something that is really fucking awesome and important, yes. Which is reclaiming your body.
And I'm only laughing because you're using a funny, like, announcer voice.
Thank you. Come back for more. You find it here on K is for
After
Kinky.
After this short break.
After this short break.
Hello, and welcome to the K is for Kinky podcast. This podcast discusses adult topics, so if you are offended by adult topics or are under the age of 18, please stop listening now. Also, while Miss Jen is a therapist, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not to be taken as personal therapy for you. She is not your therapist. And if she is your therapist, just remember that what she says only technically counts in your private sessions.
How dare you make fun of my voice?
I'm not making fun of her.
You're literally sitting there laughing and making fun of it.
You get a weird voice when it's time to record.
Well, thank you.
The opening.
I feel very.
And then you stop thinking about it, and then it's your voice.
Oh, good. I feel really supported by that observation while on the podcast with you. Love
Hello,
it.
Hello, and welcome to K is for Kinky.
Hello. You're here online with K is for Kinky, the audible gold. Flowing through your ear canals.
We're in you, in your ears.
Our voices, our thoughts, our minds.
Oh my god, okay.
What?
We're in a silly mood. But this is a serious topic. It's very serious.
You know, you saying it like that really made it feel serious. Thank you for bringing us back into the sobering conversation.
Didn't work. Okay.
Continue freaking out on the earwaves.
Freaking out?
You were just clutching your head from side to side like everything was pouring out of it.
No.
Are you okay?
I wasn't even covering my ears.
I know. It looked like you were holding your head together just from the amazing various voices we've just done. I have a fluid voice. I can make lots of sounds with it. And I'm proud of that.
I can too. I just choose to talk like I normally talk when we're doing the podcast.
Wow, you are throwing so much shade. So much shade.
All right. Happy Wednesday, everyone.
Yeah. Enjoy my dominant and my partner just like ripping me to shreds on the podcast.
Oh my goodness.
Love it.
Not that bad.
Hashtag harsh review.
Fucking millennials.
Oh my God. I will call you a boomer, even though it's not accurate. You're very.
It is not accurate.
No, but
that is my parents' generation. Thank you very much.
I will bring that word
Gen
into
X
this conversation.
In the house. Thank you.
You're like a zoomer. That's what you are.
Okay. So today, I can't get serious.
I know you can't. I'm letting you do it. I normally try to help you, but not today. Mm-mm. Not after that. Not after this opening.
Today, we actually have a listener question. And it's a really good one. And it's one that has come up. I mean, not all the specifics, which I will, one of us will read you the email. Because
you know that if people could text in, they'd say, we want that sexy sounding opener's voice. From Eden to read the question, the voice Miss Jen made fun of.
I mean, do you want me to read it like that?
I kind of do.
I can also do that kind of
well,
voice.
Maybe you
You're
should.
Not the only one.
Well, then maybe you should
like
lay it down. Why don't you lay it
voices.
Down? Okay, well then do it.
Okay, I will read the email, and we will talk about this very cool topic that was brought up by a listener. Because I think that a lot of you who are listening could probably relate. And it's something that I could relate to. Are you able to relate to it as well in some way?
Absolutely. I think, cool. to be real and to like take the goofiness out to a degree of this conversation, although I have enjoyed it very much.
I have done it. I have successfully transitioned us.
You did great. Thank you so much for that.
Yes. You're welcome.
Our perception. And then she brings us right back out of it. Our perspectives of ourselves, our feelings about our body, and the way that people perceive us and potentially treat us based on that perception of our bodies is something that we bring into the scene. Because the scene can be, for most or many, very body-focused, simply because a lot of what we do when we engage with each other in person, for many, is typically impact play of some kind or touching of some kind. And also, people like to dress up or show themselves off in dungeons. That's a very common experience. So we become very body focused and like almost like body fixated in the scene to a degree on ourselves, on the awareness that people are looking at us. And so the other thing that I would say about the topic is that there are lots of different people with lots of different bodies, and everybody brings in their own comfort level. And it is interesting to talk about this. I think it affects literally everyone.
Yeah, and while I think it does affect everyone, I think people who bottom, especially because there is more than likely, not that you have to do this, but it is more likely that somebody who is bottoming may also be either taking clothing off or wearing more revealing clothing and things like that. So I think it definitely can weigh a little heavier on those who bottom. And,
yeah.
And this is where, you know, this question does come from buddy. Oh my God. This question does come from somebody who bottoms. So why don't I go ahead and read the email? How do I get rid of the purity culture and past abusive voices in my head when it comes to showing off my body? And I'll read you the whole email that gives a little bit of backstory, although I'm not going, we're keeping this person anonymous. I got married when I was 23 years old and we've been together 17 years. I'm now 42 and have given birth to 3 children. When I was younger, both my religion and my culture, Southern, had very strict rules on what a woman was or was not allowed to show of her body. What a woman chose to show said something about who she is, whether she wanted it to or not, or even whether that was true or not. I grew up where men were extremely awkward if my bra strap showed through my tank top straps. I also had a really good body, size 0 to 4 for most of my life. When I did try to wear something cute, I was often shamed by my stepmother and other men and women. They would say things like, "You're only trying to get attention from men," and "Why do you want that kind of attention?" I've also had many friends with different body types be uncomfortable with me showing off mine, as if I were making them feel bad just by existing in my size. Needless to say, I've spent my life dressing for other people. Recently, my husband and I have started exploring BDSM. It's been amazing for us. However, I can't shake all the negative feelings about my body and showing off skin. Every time I get dressed for a play party, and we've only been to a few so far, not only do I examine every flaw, I also worry if I'm being too showy. Also, as mentioned, I've had 3 kids and I'm 20 years older than the last time someone new saw me naked. I think the past voices are bleeding in and saying, if you're going to show it off, it better be perfect. To make matters worse, I'm still small in comparison to a lot of people my age, so I feel like I'm not allowed to feel bad in my own skin. Because no, I'm no longer a size 2 to 4, but I'm an 8 to 10 with boobs that have breastfed 3 babies, a stomach that carried them, and an ass that completely disappeared. I don't feel great about my body. I don't want people to not like me because I'm showing off too much of my body, but I want to show off my body. I really want to dress for me. And I think I have a bit of an exhibition streak in me. I'm having fun with this. I'm having fun picking out outfits I would never wear in my vanilla life. How do I stop the voices that say I'm somehow wronging other people or behaving inappropriately?
Wow, this is such a good question. I actually have 2 things I want to lead with. I want to start, Ms. Jen, by actually reading a little bit about what purity culture is. Because when we hear the word purity culture, even if you're not necessarily familiar with the term, I feel like just context clue-wise, a lot of us are going to be like, oh, that means like, you know, keeping yourself pure. Women being perceived as like, or female bodied people rather. I would like to actually center this off of the concept of just women, but
like literally pressures, just not having sex.
I'm talking about the pressures placed on female bodied people by the society in general that cause us to hyper focus on ourselves as sexual entities or as like being able to be perceived as sexual and the risks of being perceived as sexual. I think that's like contextually what many people would pick up from the term purity culture, just hearing it without really knowing where it comes from. But I do want to say, and I'm actually looking, I will share where I got the source from, but I'm reading from an article from choosingtherapy.com on how purity culture, on the harm that purity culture can cause. The title of this is Purity Culture, Repercussions and How to Heal. And I just wanted to read what purity culture is based on this article and help us with some context here, which I know that the listener who wrote this in did mention a religious upbringing, and that does tie into this definition now. What is purity culture? Purity culture has come to be known as a subculture of evangelical Christian culture that emphasizes strict gender roles and norms, abstinence, and modesty. You can encounter purity culture or the influence of purity culture in the overarching like vanilla world and kink world without having come from an evangelical or like very extreme religious upbringing. You can encounter it because it has absolutely infiltrated the culture of all people in the United States, from what I can see. Yeah. And we get these messages and we get these concepts, and people engage with the concept of purity culture in a lot of media as well. So you're affected by this most likely, even if you were not raised in a Christian, like a household. Anyways,
it just may be more overt.
The concept that female-bodied people are inherently sexual for purpose, and also that female-bodied people are to be viewed and automatically will be viewed as sexual objects or as objects in general to be attained, and the idea that that is something that female-bodied people are responsible for controlling and for mitigating, because male-bodied people and the male gaze cannot help but to sexualize female-bodied people. That idea is really toxic and really pervasive. And we do see it in rape culture as well. You know, why did you wear that skirt? You were asking for this attention. Why did you go out and do this thing? This type of reasoning coming from purity culture is a huge cause for victim blaming. Yeah. So it is a really toxic and intense thing that is constantly impacting how female-bodied people do see themselves. We also saw in this response something that I thought was really interesting that I want to hold really gently. This listener talked about something that I know I have experienced and that I think most female-bodied people experience. And I'm not excluding male-bodied people from this conversation, but I am simply speaking to my personal knowledge base as a female-bodied person, okay? I was taught as a female-bodied person growing up that I can and should and will be compared to every other female-bodied person around me. I was also taught just through media, just through watching what the ideal female-bodied person looks like through cartoons, through, you know, magazines, through TV, I was taught to hold myself to this sort of standard of perfection, the ideal female-bodied person, and to self-admonish if I didn't fit that archetype. And I think a lot of female-bodied people experience this, where we are always looking around at other female-bodied people going, how do I rank next to them physically? And this is a really, 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 really harmful thing that we are taught to do. It hurts us internally, and it can cause us to act in harmful ways with each other. And in a very real sense, it oppresses us as female-bodied people, because we're not all only judging ourselves internally, but we make it difficult to form bonds of community and trust with other female-bodied people, because there's always this edge of, and I hate this, but there's this edge of competition, or like fear of being treated like a competitor. There's this fear of being rejected or harmed by other female-bodied people because we assume we're being judged. And we assume we ought to judge. And so people basically, it stops friendships from forming. It stops us from fighting against the oppression, because we are isolated by this form of oppression. So this is a really important conversation to be having, and I want to hold that. And I wanted to kind of indicate some of these bigger pieces. Ms. Jen, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I was not raised with, you know, more extreme religious stuff. I also was born and raised in Southern California, not in the South. But I think regardless of how you were raised, we all grow up with the societal messages, like you were talking about, right? The magazines, the music videos.
The music videos, totally.
Does anybody watch that still?
Oh, I was all up on those
music. I was thinking when MTV was actually music videos.
Well, also, there was Yahoo.com. They had some music videos you could watch that were uploaded. So, okay. You know, whatever. Well, very cool.
Okay, this was before the internet.
Before the YouTube skip off.
But even though the listener is talking about a more extreme example, I think most female-bodied folks can relate to the messaging, even on a lesser level. But there is always this pressure, and I'm really hopeful, actually. I am seeing the shifts starting in our world in terms of, and I think it comes with like the newer generations of celebrating different body shapes and types. Like I'm seeing that shift. I don't know if you're seeing that shift, but I'm seeing that shift a bit. And I've also read articles that are also noticing that this shift is starting, which I think is fantastic. But it's something to take a look at. And I think what's interesting too, that the listener is talking about, is, you know, a lot of people will come in, and this is kind of how I came in as well, of being a not so petite person, coming into the scene and having, you know, sort of the, and also a little bit older when I came in, you know, there's those more typical insecurities. But I think it's interesting too, that the listener is talking about how she's always been on the smaller side and how that creates, you know, she wants to be able to show herself off, but she's worried about that competitive piece that, you know, shows up. I mean, God, look at, I mean, we're not doing the whole TV episode today, but like, look at the shows that are on TV and look at the things where they pit women against each other.
Okay, so Plato's theory of forms is a theory. It's a theory of ideas, and it's also called Platonic idealism or Platonic realism. It's an important theory simply because I think we can apply it here. It's not necessarily a theory that is true, but I'm still going to reference Plato's theory of forms now. The theory of forms essentially means that there is an invisible, perfect, pure idea of everything that exists in the physical world. So like, we all know what a table looks like, right? And we know what it looks like because the table, according to Plato, has a substance, which is the perfect form of a table, and that everything in the physical world can only be known if you know what the substance is in some way. And that substance is usually the idea of a perfect table. And we use that idea or that concept of what table is or what tableness is to be able to identify, oh, this item, this object is a table and that object is a chair. We have ideas in our mind that are actually the like perfect form or substance of the physical object. Okay. If this sounds kind of crazy, it's because I'm talking about a philosophical concept and I'm probably talking about it clumsily, okay? So somebody else who studies this could explain it much better, and I look forward to and welcome somebody who studies this coming in and being like, actually, Eden, you didn't say that quite right. But the reason that I'm using this concept of a form or a substance and this idea that we have a blueprint of perfection in our minds of what each item or object is in our world is that I think that we have a blueprint in our minds for what beauty is, for what a perfect female-bodied person would look like. And I don't think that it matches. I don't think all of us have the exact same image in our minds, but I think that a lot of us could identify what we've been told the perfect form is, or the substance of female-bodied beauty is, based on what we've seen all our lives coming through media. And I think that that's really hard. And it's also really important to bring into the conversation, because something the listener said that I really, really hold gently and with love that I wanted to investigate a little bit was, I have a really good body. And then listing next to that size of clothes to indicate this is the size of body I have, which I think might indicate I have a good body, and a good body is indicated by these sizes. And I don't think there's something bad about the listener that they made this comparison or listed right after I have a good body, a clothing size. I think the listener is tangling with something that we all tangle with, which is that a good body looks like this idealized form we have in our minds, this substance, quote unquote, yeah. Right? And I wanted to actually talk about that statement on the podcast in a gentle, loving way for healing for all of us, not just for the listener, but for everybody listening. What is a good body? Who gets to decide what a good body is? Is a good body a body that is a particular size? Is a good body only somebody who is quote unquote able-bodied? Can a disabled body be a good body? Can a body that has been scarred or gone through aging, can a body that has weathered various pregnancies and births be good? Can a person's body be a good body just because they're a person and they exist and this is their body? I wanted to bring up the concept of Plato's forms because while I don't necessarily think that that is fully accurate to look at the world in this way, I'm not saying I prescribe to Plato's forms, I do think it is real that our image in our minds of the idealized version of a female-bodied person has been shaped heavily for many of us by external imaging, external infiltration, and in a way, brainwashing. To be always shown through our childhood, through our young adulthood, through our adulthood, into our old age, images over and over again, representation over and over again of what the ideal female body should be. And then to look at ourselves and decide that we do or don't match. And to always be, even if we're not externally harming other female body people anymore, harming ourselves by saying, I'm not the ideal form. I have to be the ideal form to have a good body. And if my body isn't a good body, my body doesn't deserve to exist. Or if I do exist, I need to hide my body somehow because I am not good. My body is not good. I'm not good enough. Like, this is where that thought process comes from. And I wanted to talk about it because I agree with the listener that they have a good body, but not because of any size they've ever been. I believe that we all have good bodies. And it's so harmful. And it's a wound that we all have to carry. Male-bodied people as well. Just all humans we have to carry. Because again, male-bodied people have their own like self-image stuff that they are shown on media as well. That they are taught as well. It is a little different in some ways, but it's still harmful. And I don't want to exclude male-bodied people from this conversation. I know that we're heavily focusing on female-bodied people today because of the listener's question as well as some of the things brought up, but I don't want to leave out male-bodied people. We all are taught to judge our bodies and to assess if we are good enough from a very young age, and for most of us, we are not. And for those of us who are told, oh, you are good enough, you are the ideal, you are the form, then there's the pressure of maintaining the form. There's the pressure of, oh, I am only my form. I am only good enough because of my body matching the form. And if I ever deviate from the form in any way that is the ideal form that everyone is telling me is ideal, I will be not good. I will not be safe. I am not enough unless my body fits this. So let me make my body fit this at any cost. This is also harm. And the harm that the listener is describing of I as a smaller person who, based on what I've been told, does or had fit at some point into this perfect archetype or close enough to it where I was getting praise and I was feeling like I had a good body, I have not felt good enough. I have felt like my body existing causes pain for other female-bodied people just by a comparison. So I hide my body to protect other female-bodied people from having to think about my body, because my body is not allowed, because my body is closer to the ideal form, or so I've been taught to believe and so I have internalized, but also I just want to exist. Like, this is another form of harm caused to a female-bodied person, and it's also self-harm. It's both, and it's not something that the listener should feel like they're a bad person for in any way, because we all are taught to do this to ourselves. We don't have to let other people tell us what a good body is. And that's the trick, is not identifying a good body with a particular type, but actually just validating that all bodies are good bodies.
I think also the listener is also layered in with not only, you know, the larger societal pressures and expectations, but also was probably told by male and female bodied people, relatives, friends, etc., this mixed message of, we're going to praise you for having a quote unquote good body, right? Like, we're going to say good job on, you know, whatever, losing weight or, you know, whatever it is, right? Or, you know, but at the same time, there's this mixed message of, well, but don't show it off too much, right? So yeah. It's, you know, and the religious piece comes in with that, but not necessarily, right? Again, all of these messages come in, they're probably amplified because of the religious and the cultural situation that the listener was in. But honestly, you know, female-bodied people get these mixed messages regardless of that, right? It's look this certain way, here's the ideal, but don't show it off.
Okay,
because
let's just insert the Gloria monologue from the Barbie movie really fast, and this will cover it.
I haven't seen that.
But I know, but you're about to go into a Gloria monologue, and I'm here for it. Keep going.
You know, as women, we get a lot of mixed messages, right? Be smart, but not too smart. Like, don't show that off, right? Be a mom, but also work, but also be really good at both, or else you're just failing at both. Like, there's a lot of mixed messages that we grow up with. And, you know, in this case, we're focused more on body image, but we get a lot of mixed messages. But the difficult part is bringing it down from the societal, you know, cis men, blah, blah, blah. We get it all the time from other women, from other female bodied people. And, you know, I see it all the time on social media of female creators saying, hey, let's maybe lift each other up. Let's maybe not tear each other down because of somebody's weight or somebody's body shape or whatever, in either direction, right? Oh, she's too heavy. Oh, well, she's way too thin, right? It's it's amazing how many people are so ready to tear down other people. Like, my shoulders are built like a linebacker. Like, I have very broad shoulders, right? And, you know, that was always something that wasn't necessarily brought up as a negative-ish. But it was something that was kind of like, they're not petite, right? But coming into the scene and coming in, for me, when I came in as an S-type and bottoming, it turned into from, oh my gosh, I'm built like a linebacker. My shoulders are so like wide and blah, blah, blah. It's not quote unquote feminine and petite and all of this, turned into, I have a great back for flogging. Like, there's plenty of, not that a petite person can't be flogged. Obviously all of us can be flogged. It's fantastic. It was a shift in that perspective, right? It was taking a way that my body is made that I can do nothing about, by the way, that turned from, I could be self-conscious about this, to, this is a positive. Like, this is a great thing. And I think, you know, the other thing that I noticed coming into the scene was just the variety of body types. You see stereotypical, like, high school movies where it's like everyone is, you know, you've got the popular kids that are all that quote unquote good body image people. And then all of the people that don't fit into that are always shown like off in the corner at the dance, just longingly looking at all of the other people dance. You know what I'm saying? And it's like in the scene, everyone was coming together and it was more about, hey, how is our energy together? How is our play together? What type of dynamic are we looking at regardless of body type? And I really was drawn to that because I felt like, wow, I think a lot of people have this stereotype in their head before they come to the scene that it's just going to be a bunch of what they see on the movies, right? Just a bunch of, what is his name? Gray. What was his first name? 50 Shades. I can't remember.
Gray.
Mr. Gray.
It's Christian.
Christian, that's right. You imagine, oh, it's going to be a bunch of Christian Grays and Anastasias, you know? And it's not. And it's fantastic, you know? Everybody's bodies are so celebrated. And, you know, going into, for example, also when I went into the pro world for a little bit, there was also this expectation of like, no, there's not going to be any clients that want to session with you if you're not this image, right? And you come to find out that's not true. They might actually be looking for people that go against that mold, and that, you know, beauty really is in the eye of the beholder. And it's not just about beauty. It's about, you know, so much of what we do is about the exchange of the energy and the connection. And it goes beyond this physical vessel that we're in.
Yeah. Really quick aside for the reader or the listener. Sorry.
The reader.
Really quick aside for the listener. Miss Jen really has not seen the Barbie movie in a way where she could retain it. So I'm going to go ahead and pause the podcast and play her the Gloria speech. And then she's going to come back on and tell you, oops, sorry, I ripped off the Gloria speech. Hold on one second.
Okay. So I've listened to the speech. I didn't rip it off. It's just all these things are true.
No, it's true.
It's all these things have been a struggle for a very long time. America Ferrera, what was her name in the movie?
Gloria. I know that because I read a lot of fan fiction for Barbie and Gloria. Jesus.
Wrapped it up really well. Like, that was a good speech. And it's true. And that's why it's so frustrating, because as a female-bodied person, you feel like you can never get everything right. You know, there's always going to be a complaint. And it's like,
I would say the path to attaining the weird idealized form of female bodied beauty can only be reached through the eye of like a needle. And it's like the worst needle in the world, because it requires you to strip off everything about yourself that makes you you. And if you happen to make it through that eye of that needle, you have to ask yourself, how long can I even maintain being here? And am I happy here? Now that I have it all, because somebody has told me I have it all, and I had to lose, in many cases, everything I have. Or maybe I was born and I was able to walk through the quote-unquote eye of the needle. The eye of the male gaze does see me as the ideal female form. Am I even seen at all? underneath this. You know, that's a thing. And like, that is my big thing that I experience as a non-binary female-bodied person is, does anybody see me at all? And am I only allowed to exist if I conform to the ideal? Is my female-bodied form even visible in a way that is acceptable, or am I going to be harmed because I choose to show myself as an obviously queer, obviously non-binary person by refusing to do the things that female-bodied people are told they're supposed to do? I haven't shaved my legs in about 6 months. And
that doesn't count. Your hair is blonde.
That's not the point, but thank you. Oh. I haven't shaved my legs in 6 months, and every time I think about picking up a razor, I ask myself, why? 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 What is so bad about the way that my body exists? Why am I doing that? Am I doing it for me? Am I happy always trying to reach a bar someone else has set for me because they say so? Is that happiness? Or is my happiness and my sense of self more important than hitting this bar that some invisible hand is holding above my head for my entire life? I wanted to share that part for me because, yeah, I have severe body dysmorphia, and I think that a lot of people do, and I hear described in this listener question as well, body dysmorphia. This concept of like, I'm not enough, or now I'm not enough because now I don't fit through the eye of the needle, you know? And it's like, part of having like the question of like, how do I fight the purity culture? How do I fight this? One, it's a daily struggle because we still get that external pressure every day all around us. It's also an internal struggle because we have to deprogram this stuff inside of ourselves, and we deserve to be treated gently. We deserve to treat ourselves gently. Michelle, you were like saying in your response, you know, women oppress other women and female body people oppress other female body people. And you're 100% correct. I still maintain that that comes from externalized programming, which comes from cis male oppression and gaze.
Mm-hmm. There's no magic wand, unfortunately, to fight against it. Oftentimes when we have messages that we have internalized from childhood or from growing up, it becomes a matter of, as you put it, deprogramming. A way to do that is to start to have what's called corrective experiences that start to override or become the more common experience than the experiences that internalize these feelings in the first place. And I think that that's what we see coming into the kink scene, is the opportunity for these corrective experiences. You know, every time you show up at a play party and you've put on this outfit that you feel great in, but there's that internalized message of, oh, you're being a show off, right? But you walk into a dungeon and you see your friends and they're all like, oh my God, this is an amazing outfit. Oh my God, I love this new lingerie that you got. And right. And you're given these positive messages that you're okay to wear that thing. You're okay to feel confident in your own skin and do what makes you feel good. And every time you have an experience like that, or see somebody else who looks like you or doesn't look like you, and they're having fun and they're playing, right? Observing other people's experiences can also help with this and become corrective for us to see other people who don't fit the standard getting those positive accolades and support as well. That is all going to eventually accumulate, hopefully, to a point where those internalized messages from childhood start to get, basically, it's like taping over that old cassette tape. Some people might not know what cassette tapes are.
I think you're fine. I think I would hope that most of the listeners here are familiar with.
If they're 18 plus, then they might at least understand.
Hopefully understand cassette. But the sad part is if they are 18, they might not.
Well, cassette tapes, kids, were things you play.
They're like little VHSs.
When I was growing up,
no,
we didn't have streaming music. We had to take cassette tapes and record from the radio onto cassette tapes. And we made mix tapes, and they were great. And we had to wait for the radio announcer to stop talking.
So glad. Anyway, we're walking with you down memory lane on KS.
But it's important because that cassette tape inside of us has been written on. It's been recorded with these messages that we had growing up. And to override those messages, you've got to record new ones, right? So that's what I was kind of getting at with that whole story.
Yeah.
You know, as far as how do you get over it? How do you move past this? How do you, that's how. Unfortunately, it just takes time and being more conscientious of those messages and reminding yourself that those messages are not coming from you. They're coming from your aunt. They're coming from your grandpa. They're coming from your neighbors growing up, whoever it is. That's where those voices are coming from. And it's about rewriting those things, creating a new narrative for ourselves.
It's also challenging, as Ms. Jen is saying, not only how we are judging ourselves, but how we judge other people, how we engage in oppressing others, because we are still following a script and we have basically deep grooves in our brains that tell us that we should be or that we have to.
It's why I think we have the conversation about shifting to complimenting the things that comes with choice, right? Oh my God, I love your earrings. Oh my God, this outfit is great, for example. As opposed to, you know, oh, you look so good. Have you lost weight? It's so common, right? And that's the hard part is that the person receiving it might be like, I have lost weight. Thank you for noticing. I feel great. I've been really sick or I've been really depressed and haven't been eating. And now, you know, somebody is bringing up how I look as a result of really unhealthy or sad time in my life, right? Like, yeah. We don't know how the person is going to receive it. I think the person giving is coming from a place of trying to compliment. And I don't think it's, you know, in any way trying to, it's because that's why we all do it, right? We're coming from a good place, but we've internalized that it's a good place.
A lot of microaggressions come from people thinking they're being complimentary.
Two different comments that were both coming from a very positive place, but landed very differently. One comment was, hey, have you lost weight? You're looking really good. Not that you didn't look good before.
Oh, we caught it. We called the energy back.
We did catch it. Good, but in the beginning, it was like, okay, so you're giving me this compliment because I've lost weight, which I have. I have lost weight. But the other comment was just, from somebody else, was just, hey, you look really great tonight in that dress. So these two different comments, one like overtly commented on weight that I've lost, and the other one just talked about, hey, you look good in that dress, and the dress was a choice I made. That comment about, hey, you look really good tonight in that dress, it was like, cool, because I know in my head already what's happening with my own weight. I don't need somebody to inform me that I have lost or gained weight, right? I know what I've done. I know where my body's at. To have somebody just give the compliment that from their point of view, in the eye of the beholder, if you will, that they are complimenting just how I look in the dress that I chose is lovely. But to have the compliment compared with, that was not compared, but to have it paired with a comment about weight adds a message, right? It adds an unspoken message beneath the quote-unquote compliment.
Yeah. Being gentle with yourself when you discover that you've been harmful to yourself and understanding, I don't mean to be harmful to myself. I have a really loud voice in my head or really loud voices in my head from all of these different people that have spent all of my life telling me how I should look and how I shouldn't. I have had so much oppression. I oppress myself, and it's going to take me time to learn to not to. Like, being gentle with yourself instead of being really mad at yourself when you find out that you've been mean to yourself, right? Like, that's part of the process.
But also just appreciating where you are.
And well, can I tie back to what is a good body? Can we give ourselves the message, as hard as it is to receive, that the body you're sitting in right now, as is a good body.
On that note, I hope, listener, that this has helped. I know that we tend to take these topics and these questions and we take them in different directions and different levels of discussion. I hope that, you know, again, feel free to, with all of our listener questions, we always love to hear back after you've listened to the episode. But yeah, I hope that we've been able to talk about some things that you can adopt into your own life. And just understanding that being in the kink community to me is a bonus just because of how we celebrate bodies differently. I'll just put it that way. And that you can take some of the things, some of the creating corrective experiences and using those things to remind yourself that the tapes that you grew up with need to be written over or
taped over.
Recorded over. Yeah, yeah. So hopefully this discussion is helpful. And to anybody listening who could more than likely relate, we hope this has been helpful. We really appreciate y'all listening. And we want to, of course, thank our team.
Yeah.
Sid and Tussled.
Sid and Tussled.
Y'all are amazing. And of course, our Call Me Kinklings. We got to shout them out every time.
I'll start putting.
Do you want to say that so that people can understand?
Pudding.
Scratch.
Spicy doobies.
Why'd you say it like that? And Jenny.
Jenny! Thank you all so much for supporting us. If you're curious about becoming a patron, you can hop on over there today. Ooh. And also,
is
you can
link
join
in the show notes?
Yes. You can also join our Discord server for free. And if you want, you can get our NSFW channels for like $1 or something. So.
Yeah, you can go on the Discord and get a lot of channels for free. But if you are a patron, it does open up more channels. And we love and respect all of our precious kinklings. So be well.
Bye.
Bye.